Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. Thank you for listening. Today is March 10th. I can't believe it's going by so fast, and it is 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. Thank you for joining us here on UCY.TV. Please remember to share this station with your friends and neighbors. We're a young radio station that's on the internet, not the easiest to find. So we need your help in getting the word out about the really great programs that are on this station and the variety of ideas. It is the only station where you can hear two radio shows that directly speak to the nuclear issue, and that is my show, The Age of Fission, and Nuclear Hot Seat, which is, if you have not heard it before, you definitely, it's a must listen to every single week. She does a once a week radio show. Libby Halevi has Nuclear Hot Seat, so thought I'd give that show a little plug. This morning we have on with us Wendy Lumetta, who's become a friend of our show. She lives in St. Louis. She has been affected by radioactivity, and she's just a stalwart activist in her own community. So, Wendy, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
Well, thanks so much for having me on, Lonnie. It's always great to talk to you, and I really appreciate your time and all your efforts regarding your activism. It's really appreciated in the St. Louis area. Is definitely indebted to you for all of the awareness that you have enabled. So thank you for that.
I hope so. I hope that, we have really encouraged people to just decide to pay attention. Our elected officials, really. America doesn't really know about it. I gave a conference. I put together a panel at the Public Interest Environmental Law Conference this last past Friday, a week ago today, actually, with Dr. Caldicott, Donna Gilmore, and Mimi Gurman. And I gave a little brief speech, and I mentioned St. Louis, and nobody really, their eyes were glazed over. They had no idea. They were shocked. They had no idea that St. Louis has any problem whatsoever. So I'm going to continue to speak out about it.
Yes, I appreciate that. That's surprising to me because I thought that Dr. Caldicott had come here for some type of issue in the past, but
She did, but we weren't talking about it. The people in the audience didn't know about it when I mentioned it. The name of the panel was called and you'll love this, Nuclear Waste Realities. Okay. Because the reality of us, as you guys know, living with nuclear waste, this is one of the things that I've really discovered since I started doing this show and started covering, frankly, your area. The Manhattan Project waste is in lots of places, not just St. Louis. Like, it's in Niagara Falls. There's several places in Missouri. Missouri got hard hit. It is really beyond comprehension that they allowed this to happen. And here in Hanford. But I had on Tony West yesterday, who was the director of Safe Side of the Fence. And I think I've watched that movie five times. And after I talked to him, I was determined to watch it one more time without crying, because I get very emotional, like watching that movie, like the just sheer destruction. If people, I encourage everyone to watch that movie because it had the way they lay it out, it shows the maps. I get all confused about the different parts of town still. I don't have that sort of retention to remember the names. But when you look at how they laid it all out, that just, it was as if they thought they were throwing out food waste. You know what I mean? They had no regard for the danger that it causes everything on our planet. And
well, certainly their ignorance is a factor, and it's whether or not it's really willful ignorance, because I believe that some people that did the dumping and handled the waste in a reckless way, they were not fully aware of what it was. They had been lied to. They had been misled. They had been, they had information omitted from the information that they received.
Right.
So I really believe that not everyone knew what it was. I truly believe that because that is what the auspices of the Manhattan Project were all about. It was a big secret. It was, it was a secret that they were, trying to get a self-sustaining chain reaction through fissionable material. And the purification of all of that uranium came from St. Louis. So there's no question that even people that were working on the project, in fact, that's what Tony West's documentary exposes, and it tells the story of Denise Brock, who is the NIOSH ombudsman for the Manhattan Waste workers that are in the area. And so Denise has really been invaluable in terms of presenting the information regarding how they knew that the workers were exposed to nuclear waste, and they have the documentation that follows that up. So, I give Denise all the credit in the world for handling this as the professional that she is. I would be probably a lot more emotional and upset about it, and she has really taken the reins and been able to enable legislation to pay the workers for the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health. So that's something that the workers have. The workers have legislation that helps them. What we don't have here in St. Louis is the Downwinders Program, which is RECA, which stands for the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act. And the Downwinders program is something that is primarily in the western states because the legislation started when the above-ground atomic testing happened, and there was fallout from that. And then, as you know, one of perhaps the greatest acts that Kennedy did was sign legislation saying that there would be no more above-ground atomic tests. And so since then, there has been this RECA legislation in the western states. And also, I believe in Los Alamos in New Mexico, which is where the test bombs were tested. And then I'm not sure about Oak Ridge, Tennessee. I would actually have to look into that, but I know they also have a nuclear waste problem there. And then also in Paducah, Kentucky, a lot of nuclear waste has found its way there. And then you already mentioned Hanford, which I believe Hanford is the most polluted site in America for radiation. Now, that's before Fukushima, which we were talking about that a little bit before. I'm sure Fukushima is hitting the West Coast, but I don't have any information about measurements or how the, alpha, beta, and gamma readings are
I think at Fukushima now they're measuring it like 6,000 curies of radiation. It's off the charts, super high. The tanks are leaking. Those tanks in Fukushima were only meant to last 3 years. That was not a long-term solution. At the time they put them up, they thought for sure in 3 years they could have stopped the issue, and they didn't. They basically have a water farm, a tank farm, growing tank farm, right? But there, a lot of those things were just temporary fixes. And I mean, we're seeing it now. Whales, I mean, basically Radchick, if you guys don't know who Radchick is, she was she's an anti-nuke activist like us, a citizen journalist who got into this and really studied it. In one of her comments, she said something like, well, the whales' eyes are going to start melting, and we now see beached whales with eyes falling out of their head. That's what happens. You know, you swim
That's
through radioactive.
Awful.
Yes, the whales that are beaching up, their eyes are falling out of their head. We see many dead animals in washing up on shores that show signs of being affected by radioactivity. I mean, the whales and the dolphins, it's not just global warming. It really is radioactive contamination. It is because it's cumulative. The ocean is getting it from both sides. In the northern hemisphere, we have sellafield leaking off of into the Irish Sea, and then we have Fukushima leaking into the Pacific, and then we have all the other radioactivity that's going out into the Irish Canal, and all the dumping. Diablo Canyon dumps all of its nuclear waste into the Pacific Ocean. It is beginning to take effect. We're seeing mass animal deaths, like huge mass animal deaths now. We can't even keep up. We're losing over 1 million birds a month.
Wow.
It's, you know, it's beyond comprehension. And so what we have is a cacophony of just people who are so, I don't believe they don't know the truth. I think we do have the scientific facts. I think they're afraid to admit the truth, that we are so knee deep in this nuclear experiment, and they don't know how to stop it.
That, and I think they take advantage and exploit the fact that it's difficult for people to prove, because radioactivity is something that they receive on a daily basis anyway. So to be able to measure that in any measurable way that would be able to assign blame to someone is something that they're just not interested in quantifying. So,
I think that's incorrect, Wendy. They can test. They could, in fact, test. The fact is they do not test because they don't want to know. They do not test.
Exactly,
like, they are not testing the animals. We've called people on the West Coast, activists here on the West Coast. We've really pushed hard with the state of Washington, the state of Oregon, to find out, like, are you testing these animals for radioactivity at all? Nope.
Mm-hmm.
They specifically, in fact, there was a panel, I saw it about maybe it was a year and a half ago, a panel of 13 scientists who came together in San Diego who were freaked out by the seals. Remember when it made the news that the seals, they were losing massive amounts of seals washing up on the West Coast down in San Diego, and the mammal rescue people were freaked out. So I called them up and I said, Are you getting it tested? They said, no, we're not getting it tested for radio. And I'm like, why not? They're like, well, we wouldn't even know how to do that. I said, just ask. They're like, oh, no. And then I pushed the guy and I called him back, and he was like, you know, we can't ask. They're not going to do it. So just stop. He felt like I was harassing him, to be honest. Just stop harassing me, because I was pushing. I wanted them to test. I mean,
you've made a very valid point, and actually you said a word in the last part that really I hope people understand, and that is bioaccumulation, that is something that it builds up in your system. And then you also have things called free radicals, which you can ingest, you know, that can help fight things and staying healthy. But there comes a point where no matter how many, you know, things that you have built up in your body, it is going to outweigh any immune response that your body has as a defense. And eventually your immune system is going to become overwhelmed, and that's how people get sick from radioactivity. So it's, you know, the part that I continue to be stymied about is that when they study Fukushima, that it, you know, they measure the people that were killed immediately from a high-powered nuclear blast, and then since then, they do not attribute any deaths to Fukushima. And we all know that that's not even scientifically possible. People are going to absorb these things that are going to kill them just on a slower basis. So the scientists themselves are really not being honest with the exposure to radiation and how that is impacting the immune system and allowing your body to become bombarded with all these other things that could make you ill. So it's really, like I said, the not being able to prove it, the not being able to attribute this radiation from that radiation, it becomes more and more difficult to prove. And without that proof, there will be no legislation to help it. So as far as Fukushima goes, I don't even know what to say. The computers and the equipment and the robots that they're sending in are melting as soon as they get in there, or within, you know, hours. So what did you say the name of that effect was again? I'm going to write that down.
Oh, we were talking about the Wigner effect right before we got on. It's Wigner.
Okay.
And Dr. Loren Murray really talked about this. Radchik did a very extensive. Radchik is actually, I think she's been affected by radioactivity, be honest. I mean, she's back east, and the reason she's not out in full public is she's got some very weird, odd medical conditions going on that keeps her from being active. She was quite active for several years, and then she pops up every once in a while, but to be honest, she was like, I think she, in fact, I think her activism started on this radio station, and she branched out. She went and did her own thing and left here and started her own network and did a whole bunch of her own activism. Her name is Christine Consolo, and you can find her. I mean, to be honest, her work is really... It's impeccable. Some of her work is unquestionable. And she has interviewed Dr. Loren Murray, who's a scientist, who she's been talking to me about coming on the radio show. She's just been very busy. She's obviously booked by a lot of people right now. But she's talking to me about coming on. I hope to get her on in the next several months. But Loren Murray really, really discusses the Wigner effect. She's a doctor, a physicist, a doctor who worked at the Livermore lab and left because she basically got shoved out because this is my understanding of her history, so we'll let her tell her when she gets here, but she basically got kicked out because she wouldn't shut up about nuclear contamination. She wasn't willing to lie, and she wanted to talk about it, and she wanted to, like, and then she talks about the deep state, of how the deep state really, I don't think she uses those terms, but how the sort of secret government is really manipulating and intentionally lying to us. This is not an accident. The fact that they say that, you know, I have to say it piques me when people say there's really no way to trace it because of, that is actually not true. They can trace it. They choose not to, and it's an intentional thing, and Dr. Loren Murray really exposed that. But the Wigner effect talks about how atoms work their way into the metal, and they're not just piercing the metal, as they pierce the metal, you know, we know that nuclear gamma goes through every single thing. There isn't anything it doesn't go through. Well, if you get bombarded by it enough, it's going to break the metal down, and it weakens it, so things collapse. This is why we see an increase in accidents from airplanes, weird things like windshields falling out of airplanes, or little tiny pieces, or equipment at amusement parks, like things that you would think were really strong, they get, when they're exposed to high levels of radioactivity, they just break down a lot faster. So it affects every single, this is why tomorrow is, you know, is 3/11, the day that Fukushima happened, the tsunami. I'm going to protest, and I encourage everybody. I don't know if it's a protest. I'm not protesting. I'm calling it an event, an awareness event, an ongoing disaster. That's what I put it in the newspaper. I call it the Fukushima Ongoing Disaster Awareness Event, because that is what it is. People, it's kind of like in your... I mean, I was thinking about this in terms of St. Louis, right? Like with this Fukushima Day coming on. Like, I wonder, the people in St. Louis are like, you know, there's not, Fukushima doesn't, you guys are living right next door to nuclear radioactivity. That is, seriously, it's like you're at ground zero. Literally, well, many people are at ground zero.
Not only that, but many people are not even aware that it is around in the St. Louis area. And they would look to something, you know, a Fukushima, like, that's, you know, oh, there's a real radiation incident there, totally unaware that it's right here, you know, essentially in people's backyards. It's it is in people's backyards for the first time ever. It's being cleaned out of residential areas through the SUSRAP program. So it's real.
Can you believe that, Wendy? I mean, when I was watching the safe side of the fence again. It hit me like a ton of bricks, the length of time between when the contamination was started and how long it took for any action, any remedial action to start happening. Like, they exposed the community for well over 20, 30 years. And there is no regard for human life. The contamination is, I mean, you know, that was one of the things when I first got engaged in this, you know, was understanding the two sites, right? The Coldwater Creek and the Westlake Landfill. And then to realize that the Coldwater Creek, they have been working on it for 20 years. They've been dealing with it. So the big issue is no one's dealing with Westlake, or they're beginning to, but they're putting a Band-Aid over it instead of really taking it out of St. Louis. They're putting a Band-Aid on it. But the thing is, at Coldwater Creek, you can't just pick the dirt up. You can't just take that stuff away and have it be normal. It's been contaminated, the whole area, the whole zone. As we discussed the last time, they used this contamination as landfill dirt and gave it to people from the dump for their gardens.
Yep. I'm aware of some of the different stories, and I'm not sure what the Army Corps of Engineers has uncovered in terms of testing in North County. I did live stream the most recent meeting that they had a few weeks back, because they only give updates twice a year. So it's really important to tune into those updates, because we only get them twice a year. And they were pretty clear about, I want to say something like there were 19,000 areas tested, and something like 11% or a little more came back as needing remediation. So, you know.
Yeah, but that does not mean that all of them, excuse me, let me ask you this. There are 19,000 sites tested. How many sites tested is positive for radioactivity?
Well, see, everything will test positive for radioactivity.
Right.
Because everything is essentially radioactive. So what they do is they measure it, and it goes according to their remediation standard. And I don't have those numbers off the top of my head, but whatever it is, they do have a health physicist that calculates what the, you know, amount of radioactivity is. And I really believe that this group wants to get it right. See, part of the problem with the Westlake Landfill is that they are under EPA authority. Well, as you know, the new EPA head is denying climate change. We're in kind of a scary situation in terms of our current administration of executive office. And to even think that somebody in the EPA would deny climate change is sort of, you know, I have no idea what he hopes to accomplish with that. But we can't have people that are denying science be in charge of the things that are happening. Luckily, in the case of the SUSRAP program, the Army Corps of Engineers has already determined what their level of remediation is, and it's really thanks to the people in the administration of the Coldwater Creek group that it's even getting remediated right now, because initially the Army Corps of Engineers was not going to test north of 270, and it wasn't until the people in Coldwater Creek got together and put the information as a map and mapped it out and mapped out the illnesses that people were getting that lived along the creek and showed that to the ATSDR and the CDC, and now they're doing a public health assessment that should be released next year. So it's not a question of whether or not the radioactivity got into Coldwater Creek. We know that it did. It tests positive currently. And besides that, we know that we had a 100-year flood in 93 after the, you know, waste at Coldwater Creek had already existed there for decades. And we know that it got, you know, a large amount of it got washed out. It got washed out upstream in the drinking water for St. Louis. This is something that people need to pay attention to, because it is their lives that are being impacted whether they realize it or not. They can't close their eyes and deny that these things are happening. They are happening. And the best way that you can deal with them is equip yourself with knowledge. You know, try to learn as much as you can about exposure, about the issue, about how you could be more at risk doing certain things and, you know, less at risk doing other things, learn to limit your amount of radioactivity exposure so that you're not, you know, overexposed to areas that there might be, you know, the effects of radioactivity that is happening. And it's really hard to measure that because, like I said, it's everywhere. It's in everything. It's in the sun. So what you can do is arm yourself with where are these polluted places and then avoid contact with that as much as possible. You don't want to plant a vegetable garden or, you know, fruit bushes because they become bioaccumulative in the plants themselves. So if you live in North County and you're listening to this program, just don't eat fruit out of your yard. You know, it's even more than that. It's that you need to understand that a healthy lifestyle is the way to combat this. We don't have any control over the radioactivity that we've been exposed to, but what we do have control over is the knowledge that we acquire from now on and how we're going to try to go forward to combat this known health problem. All it takes is one atom to bombard one cell for that cell's DNA to become disrupted and mutated and, you know, become cancer. That's all it takes is one.
Or have a heart attack.
Or have a heart attack. There's so many things. Now, there's, I believe that under the RECA program, there's something like 27 primary cancers that are attributed to radiation that they cover through that legislation. But in reality, we know that there are many more things that radiation impacts for people's health because we know that it impacts their immune system. And when something impacts your immune system, that means everything else is exposed. It means that you're going to be sick in a general way because your immune system doesn't have the ability to fight off things that we would normally have the ability to fight off. So, again, knowledge is power. I'm grateful to you for having this program to enable people to hear this information. I really encourage everyone to try to go out and get as much information as you can about this. I know the Coldwater Creek Facts webpage has tons of information, historical documentation, pretty much has spelled out a lot of the characterization and information that they've had in terms of correspondence with officials about how this got here and when. And so I really hope that the EPA will change its course regarding the Westlake landfill and decide to remediate it. I know that they're in the process of coming out with a new record of decision. This new record of decision should include information about Area 3, which is the contaminated groundwater that's on site. And to be honest, that whole issue is very upsetting, especially for the people that live right there, because they deal with leachate spills. We know that this leachate is radioactive. We know that it has all kinds of chemicals in it. It's very, very dangerous. And the fact is, engineered fixes in handling radioactivity are prone to failure. We already know this. Any type of engineered anything that gets in contact with radioactivity, you know, there's the probability of something going wrong there. So we really need to, that's another reason why I'm really proud of the FoosRAP program here in St. Louis, because they've already been able to take something in the neighborhood of, I'm just kind of going to pull a number out, but it's something like 350 train loads of contaminated dirt that they've taken out of the St. Louis area and sent it off to a repository that has been licensed to receive nuclear waste, and they've never had an accident. They have 100% success rate. They have never had an incident where the container has been breached en route. So that's something that is really important. If they're going to move this stuff around to make it safe, then they need to do it in a safe way. But unfortunately, the area already has a lot of contaminated waste because in St. Charles, see, you said at the beginning of your show that I live in St. Louis, but I actually live in St. Charles, which is on the other side of the Missouri River to the west. So okay. It's just in the county just west of St. Louis. That said, I'm only about 10 minutes away from Westlake Landfill and about 25 minutes away from Coldwater Creek from where I grew up. So Out here in St. Charles, though, they have what is the first contained area of nuclear waste in the country, and that it is an engineered fix. I believe that they estimate that it is that it should be good for 1,000 years, and we know that the nuclear material that is inside lasts for tens of thousands of years or hundreds of thousands of years. So it's really not a fix, and I'm sort of.
I have to say, Wendy, I can't help but laugh. They love to say we're going to put it in a container that lasts for 1,000 years. You know how long these 1,000-year containers usually last? 10 years. They're so hilarious. Like, they're so ridiculously dumb. They do the same. They make the same statements. If it wasn't so dangerous, it'd be funny. Like, but at least it is contained. Let me ask you this. This is something I read the other day that they're going to gut the EPA by 43%. The new budget is gutting the EPA by 43%. I'm beginning to wonder if anybody in St. Louis has heard whether that means that the EPA is going to hand over Westlake Landfill to the Army Corps of Engineers.
Well, that's not the way that I understood the legislation. The way that I understand it is now they're just going to be handling it with that much less people and that much less resources. So I don't know that any type of jurisdictional change has
shifted. They're just going to ignore it, in other words.
Well,
we don't need
to
know.
That's what they've been doing for decades now. They've already been doing it for decades. It's been under the EPA authority for, I think, 27 years. And they've been able to just, you know, it's literally been a PR stunt since I've been involved. You know, I don't know that they've ever really taken it seriously. And they seem to make a strong argument about whether or not people are exposed to it. But we know that it's in the leachate. It's getting spilled all over the street. We know that the area itself has never even been appropriately characterized. They've never even tested the whole thing. It's insane. I have no idea how they're getting away with this. I have no idea how this is happening. It's infuriating. The legislature for Missouri has just done a terrible job in representing the area, because if they really had their hearts and minds in what was going to be best for Missourians, and particularly St. Louisans, they would already have this handled decades ago. Just the fact that they've been able to put it off for decades means that is what is more financially desirable, is just to, you know, put it off forever. And that is, if they only knew the harm that they're causing, I'm stuck between, do they know the harm that they're causing and they don't care, or that they truly are ignorant and they don't know? So it's really infuriating. I have to say that a lot of people in the area don't know. I remember the first time that I testified before my county council, and as I was telling these gentlemen and ladies about the radioactive waste in North County, they looked at me in disbelief. They thought that I was just, you know, saying some crazy stuff. And then I gave them the FUSRAP newsletter. They had never heard of FUSRAP, and here it is, a federal program. Then following that, I know that there was a representative from the fire department that came to another county council meeting and told them that, you know, the county is in danger because of which way the wind may blow. And the county council was very disturbed by this information. They had no idea that we were in direct line for, you know, what happens if the smoldering waste hits the radioactivity. We don't know. We know that the EPA has already investigated it. Their national board has already submitted a position in 2012. And we know that the EPA then deliberately withheld that information for the next 3 years or 4 years. And they didn't ever release what the NRRB stated in 2012. And that is, yes, it is feasible for it to go. We need for it to go. And besides that, their Board of Research and Development said that it's dangerous to have the fire in close proximity to the radioactivity, and they can't fully determine what could happen. And so, why roll the dice and take your chances when people's lives are at stake? People live here. This is insane. I have not been able to figure out why our elected officials aren't taking this more seriously. They're not devoting the time and effort needed to be able to understand the site and to be able to make the moves that need to be done. You know, PR and talking about it is not fixing anything. We need to aggressively test the site, get a wall placed or some type of break between where the fire is and where the radioactivity is, and then we need to get rid of the radioactivity. We need to, you know, move it away from, you know, people and water. It only makes sense.
There is no way that the radioactivity has not met the fire already, in my view. Because when I started covering this 2 years ago, they said it is 300 feet. Mm-hmm. And it's still 300 feet away. That's an impossibility.
Yeah.
It cannot still be 300 feet away.
Well, they make guesses as far as how far away it is, but then they admit that they don't know where the line is. Well, how are you supposed
exactly.
to know how far away it is if you don't know where the line is?
It's, well, because I think they know that it's testing very positively for radioactivity. They're not telling people. This is the thing. We're on a need-to-know basis, and we don't need to know. Die early. Right. That's their motto. And this is, to me, I consider this to be the greatest betrayal. Our elected officials, instead of being complicit and cowardly and turning their backs on it and doing what they're told by whoever it is that's telling them what to do, our elected officials ought to be leading. That's why they're called leaders. We need them to lead. We don't need them to run away like, oh, they kind of like turn their back on us. They run away and they don't want to talk to us if we have to talk to them about radioactivity. They're very afraid to even discuss the term because they know that they have betrayed us. And it's time. I think that we really need to pressure our elected officials to find their courage because We're in a tizzy now. We are in a bad state of affairs in our country, not just from radioactivity, but a lot of other areas, because our elected officials do not have the courage to find their integrity, to be honest. And we're living in a country full of cowards. It's so ironic, you know, the song that says, you know, home of the land of the free and the home of the brave. We are no longer free and we are no longer brave. As all of us know, nonstop, we are being spied on. I mean, there was a story this morning that said in the United States, there is no such thing as privacy. We have no privacy anymore.
I believe it. I saw something about the TVs, like smart TVs are able to, I think that was in the WikiLeaks that just happened. How they were able to determine that smart TVs can, I guess, kick on a camera and spy on people.
So can your laptop camera, and in fact, it's not that they can, they do. And they do it at the drop of a hat. And this is the thing. This is where it takes, this is why I think Edward Snowden is a true patriot. And it's like Einstein said, if everybody refuses to pull the trigger, there's going to not be any more war. So it gets down to every single person has to have the integrity to say no. I'm not going to spy on my neighbors. I'm not going to work for a company that installs spy equipment. I'm not going to work for people who, you know, are helping the system. I'm not going to, like me, I could have gotten a really good job when I was younger working for Raytheon when I was living in Los Angeles, made $80,000 to $100,000 a year. And I absolutely refused to work for Raytheon. There is no way I would work for any of those companies.
I'm glad to have the integrity to maintain.
But
your
this is what I mean. Like, if everybody chose to do that, I think this is the uphill battle. It's not just telling people about radioactivity. The uphill battle is about getting people to find their integrity. Like, tomorrow is 3/11. I'm going to be standing out at the public library. And the reason I picked the library is so that I can tell people, don't take my word for it. Go in there and research it. It's a mess. You know what I mean?
It's
like
a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to the public library. I'm going to be out there from 11 to 1 in front of the public library in downtown Eugene. I'm not going to go all day long. I'm not going to waste. I've done that before where you spend the whole day and you encounter maybe 15 people, right? So, but I am going to videotape it. I'm going to make a YouTube video of it, and I'm going to hand out flyers and give out information about radioactivity and encourage people that, look, this is a difficult topic, but it takes us to be adults. We must be the adults in the room. And there are solutions that are being suppressed. There's information that's being suppressed. I'm making up a sign tonight that's going to say free the scientists or free scientists from greed. I think that's too big, so I kind of have to experiment with how big I want it to be. But I really believe we need to free our scientists. That's the root of what's happened here. Our scientists are coerced and colluded. They are not allowed. If they say anything, they get fired.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and not only that, but people's lives are so dependent upon science, and then they're snubbing their nose at the very science that enables them the life that they have. This is, you know, I think anybody who is going to be a climate change denier should have their smartphone taken away from them immediately, because they clearly don't understand the science involved in the technology of getting a cell phone and then getting it to, or a smartphone, and then getting it to do all of these things that they do. I don't think these people should be deserving of scientific features. You know, let them live in the dark ages for a while and see that they can't deny science and continue to live in society with a attitude of just, well, if I close my eyes, then it doesn't exist. No, it does exist, whether people want to admit it or not. So, you know, same thing with radioactivity. You know, at least people are kind of clued in about climate change a little bit. You know, when I hear that the White House no longer has the words climate change on their website, and they no longer use the word science, what kind of world? You know, this is just insane. Him saying, no, we're not going to follow it, doesn't change anything. Unfortunately,
right.
We're still in the same world. We're still, you know, people still need to empower themselves through knowledge. They still need to find out the things that are going to hurt them and then try to avoid those things. So it's really important not to let this denial of science go any further. It's ridiculous. It's, you know, people are being really irresponsible when they have that attitude. I don't accept that. So it's, I really believe the listeners of your show are smarter than that. And so I don't have doubts about that, because you're already discussing and educating about the age of fission. That's, you know, people need to understand what fission means and how just obtaining that knowledge and that information actually endangered so many lives and killed so many lives in Japan. I do hope that more people learn the history of the Manhattan Project and learn the secrecy behind it, and how that is one reason why it has polluted all of St. Louis to the level that it has, because so many people had their hands on it because they were unaware of what radioactivity was. They didn't understand it. They didn't know that that's what it was, or, you know, they were just not, you know, cognizant and aware people. So it's a shame that it's gotten to where it has, but at least, you know, where I came from in North County is getting cleaned up. They're actually testing the areas, and I feel confident that they are making the area more and more safe. And I really hope that the Westlake landfill gets a resolution that will also include getting rid of the radioactive waste. I don't know why we have been waiting so long. I don't know what more in terms of efforts to the people that are accountable toward this. I'm kind of at a loss for knowing what to do anymore. That's why I really appreciate being on your show, so that we can try to, you know, put our heads together and educate people and get them motivated, hopefully. I hope everybody listening to this will just make it a point to contact their legislators. You should have two state, federal elected, and at least in the Senate of Congress, and then in the House, however your district goes, but know who your representatives are, and then contact them. Just call them
with information and bring them information, because they are sorely misinformed and do not have the education. That's the issue. Donna Gilmore said that in our panel. She's like, look, somebody said, well, what can we do? And she said, you know what? Meet with your elect, make an appointment, go sit down, but go armed. Bring them information. She has it on her website, sanonofresafety.org. She has links to try to figure out how to get this information off of the pages of the EPA and the NRC. It's there, buried in their website. It's not
right.
Like they're lying to us about it. The facts are all out there. They have They may not be dealing with it, but they know what it's like. Me here in Oregon, right? I just thought, well, I wonder if we have any fuse wrap sites in Oregon. I was thinking about it, and I just Googled it, right? Turns out we do. We have three. We have there's a little ATI, which is considered a fuse wrap site right here in Albany. It's highly radioactive, highly contaminated. It's about 60 miles away from Eugene, Oregon. It was used. It creates products for the nuclear industry, and I don't know how it got contaminated, but it's considered a fuse wrap site. We have an abandoned uranium mine out in the middle of the forest, as it turns out, that they didn't even look at for over 20 years. And their method of remediation is just to pour salt around the gaping hole so it'll absorb the radioactivity when it rains.
Ooh,
For
that
real.
doesn't sound
It,
ideal.
you got it. Exactly. That's what I said. Really? Like, it
Yeah.
is shocking to read what they did. And they only go back every 20 years. Every 20 years, they check in. So, and then it's up in the forest, and there's no roads blocking it off, nothing. People could go hiking. You could go just like out in the middle in the Midwest, or not in the Midwest, but like in the middle of the desert, like New Mexico and Idaho, where all the abandoned uranium mines are. There's nothing saying don't go in there. There's no yellow tape. There's no warning signs. That's why on Native American lands, the cancer rate among the males is over 80%. I think it's like 90% now. It's hitting maximum. And the genetic mutations are hitting maximum now because they are living and playing. They're drinking radioactive water. And that, frankly, is going to be the state of affairs for most of us if we don't free scientists to help us figure this stuff out.
There's that, for sure. And then there's also drinking, distilled water or filtered water. Any advantage that you can give yourself will be a good one. So,
And even showering, you should get a shower filter. It doesn't filter out everything, but a shower filter is relatively inexpensive at 20, 30, 50 bucks. You could spend $100 on one. But any filter that you can do to shower, to filter on, because our bodies absorb the stuff. It's just, there's a lot of reasons, not just from radioactivity, but the chemicals that are in our water. Our water supply is basically poisoned in the United States. So it's really important not to drink anything out of the tap. Don't put that near your body as much as you possibly can. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I don't even let my dog drink out of the tap. She gets bottled water like we do. So
It's really stunning. I have to say, I found out yesterday, and I want to share this with the listeners because this is how real the effects of radioactivity is. My niece found out that her son has had heart attacks. Her son, he lives with a foster care person. She had trouble when she was younger, and he lives with a foster care person. She stayed in touch with him throughout all these years. Her life is better, but they've decided that it's better for the child to stay where he was, so that's where he's at. And she was informed that he's had heart attacks and he's going to have heart surgery. He's 11 years old.
Oh my goodness, this is
An 11-year-old
terrible.
having a heart attack. Tell me that's not from Fukushima. They live right on the coast of the Washington West Coast that is getting bombarded with cesium-137. We have been bombarded, and in fact, we're continuing to be bombarded with cesium-137, 134. It's off the charts. It is beyond comprehension. We're losing 1 million birds a month that are falling out of the sky around the world. We can't even count the number of fish that's washing up. Thousands and thousands of tons of fish. We literally are. My friend Thomas Ackerman says we're probably in an extermination level event, not an extinction level event. They know what they're doing. So I think very strongly it's very important for us to go meet with our elected officials, send them in, and even if you don't see them, send them a letter with your concerns and send them some information. So they at least have to see it, because many of them
Absolutely.
don't even know. Like they live in a bubble and they believe what they're being told. But honestly, the incredulity of it all, like we watch the clown show that's turned into our government now. And, for them to say that they just don't know this whole business of what's gone on about the tweets and Obama and blah, all this spying. We know that's why Edward Snowden is in Russia. We have known that we've been being spied on. So that whole thing, the whole secret government thing started because of the Manhattan Project.
Well, it certainly got legs during that time, but I
That's a
think
good
the
way to put
issue.
it. That's a good way to put it, Wendy.
Well, actually, what happened was the Fourth Amendment was killed when the Patriot Act was signed by George W. Bush after 9/11,
Exactly
because that
right.
was how they excused knowing, or that was how they excused being able to go in and spy on people because they said that it was a matter of national security. So
Right.
the majority of people just kind of accepted that and said, well, if we all want to be safe, then okay. But the reality is it does infringe on our Fourth Amendment. It pretty much gutted it right there. So
And
it's
it doesn't keep us safe. That whole thing is not about keeping us safe. I feel very strongly. I still, in fact, call Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley and tell them to put in legislation to revoke the Unpatriot Act. And I refuse to call it the Patriot Act. It's the Unpatriot Act. It is
yeah.
the thing that gutted our country. It's why we have indefinite detention. It's why we have the spying. I mean, they can actually come in and sneak and peek in your house if they want and
Oh,
come
and
and
like you said,
take a
they
look.
do. It's not so much that they can, it's that they do. And
Yes.
yeah, it's absolutely a matter of control. I believe that, we are with the Republican platform being what it is, that we're going to be in an increased police state. So apparently legislation's gone through that's going to increase our military budget. We already have the biggest military in the world
That's
by
right.
a long shot. And they're going to increase our military budget. I mean, I, you know, my husband was a veteran. My father was a veteran. I support veterans absolutely, but I don't really support this increased military state. It's very frightening that we're not learning the lessons of history and we're not trying to follow. It just seems like everybody's out to make a buck. All of the legislators are out to make a buck. They all want to be in on these. Trump is literally a pay-for-play guy. Mar-a-Lago is like where they're selling, tricks so that people can get whatever laws they need to be supported.
It is a
So
pay for play. I mean,
yeah.
the scandal behind this administration that's being downplayed is just outrageous. I mean, people think, oh, it's just because we're pro-Hillary. I'm not at all pro-Hillary. And frankly,
No.
I was willing to give Trump a chance. Once he won, I thought, okay, I think the guy's an abuser, but maybe he can do something. But he has rolled out probably the most corrupt administration I've ever seen in my life. Like, I
Yeah.
mean, when Steve Mnuchin, who wants to run our treasury, does not disclose that he has Cayman Island accounts on his disclosure forms, and he
100
still gets,
million. He
yes.
forgot about $100 million. Yeah.
He had the nerve to tell Congress that the form was very complicated and that he didn't understand it.
Yeah. Yeah, the
That
guy
was
who's
his
going to
answer, and
run
they
our
approved it.
finances says it's complicated. Kind of like Trump saying that health insurance, who knew that it was complicated? What a jerk. I mean, whatever. Yeah, I have a lot of opinions
The
and
incredulity of these people is just beyond comprehension. It's like what's really amazing is I actually have started watching Fox News so I can listen to how they support him and the things that they're behind. And fundamentally, this is the issue. They really still fundamentally believe in this is what Trump is rolling in. Alan Greenspan's plan for the economy. Alan Greenspan's what they call neoliberal. How people term neoliberal now is not how it was really meant. Neoliberalism meant that you get rid of all of the government agencies, you take people off from being dependent on the government, and then you privatize everything. And the corporations, because they want a healthy society, because they need to sell products, will create the safety nets themselves. They will set up the foundations to take care of the little people. And we've seen how that works out. And actually, that doesn't work out. And in Chile, they had to bring in a militarized police, which is exactly what they're it really, honestly, Donald Trump is doing to America exactly what Nixon did to Chile, for real. that they are doing the it's the exact same, and they're it's called a controlled democracy. That's what they really, and these people, they really, I watch them on Fox News and they're like, well, I've never seen a government agency be gutted, and they only create agencies. Well, actually, creating the agencies happened after the Unpatriot Act passed. We had not created a new agency since the EPA was created, what to stop the burning rivers. You know what I mean? Like, the idea behind gutting these agencies instead of fixing the agencies is not going to solve the problem. And this is why, especially in the area of radioactivity and all of that, what we really need is just honesty. We just need them to do what is right instead of what is profitable, period.
Yeah. I mean, good luck with that one. I don't think anybody, you know, people just aren't doing things for altruistic purposes anymore. They do it to see what they can get out of it. And that's really a sad reflection on society these days.
That's a word we don't hear anymore.
I'm sorry?
That's a word we don't hear anymore.
Yeah.
Sure, altruism,
don't know what
you know?
It means. Well, that's why I'm glad I know you, to give me a good example.
Thank you. I mean, this is the point, though. We really have, we're at a critical time where it's going to take the masses of people to stand up to these, the weak ones who are in elected. I mean, I'm dumbfounded that somebody like Heidi Heitkamp, who I helped elect, is willing to get behind every pipeline in America. I mean, it's astounding the level of collusion that has to go on, especially like in St. Louis, in your area. For, you know, one of the things about this movie, Safe Side of the Fence, was that it shows film footage from 20 years ago, people standing up and saying, hey, you guys have got to fix this. That's 20 years ago, and we're still dealing with it. They've just put it off and kicked the can down the road and kicked the can down the road while babies die, people die, their lives are messed up. It's almost like there's been a war declared on America. That's how I feel. They've declared war on America in the nuclear industry.
Well, that's kind of how it feels like. And besides that, when you consider that these were materials that originated from World War II, it's really hard not to feel like, you know, a victim of war. A casualty of war. The people that I know that lived in my neighborhood that are dead from cancer now, you know, from horrible cancers when they were young. It's this is not right. The government needs to step up and take, you know, full accountability of this. At least in the FUSRAP program, they're acknowledging that it's there and they're identifying what needs to be cleaned up and they're doing it.
Well, we need to push for greater funding of FUSRAP, that's for sure. The money they have is nothing compared to what they need.
Well, I have no doubt about that, but at least we have the legislation moving forward to ensure that it, you know, remains a site that will continue to be cleaned up. What we need is for the Army Corps of Engineers to also oversee the Westlake landfill, and right now it's under the EPA authority. So what we need is for your listeners out there to call your elected. Ask them to support legislation to transfer the authority of the Westlake Landfill from the EPA to the Army Corps of Engineers, and to really engage your electeds. Like you said, knowledge is power. We need to give them information.
Wendy, I'm going to jump in. We have 15 seconds left. It sure goes fast. You've been listening to Wendy Lunetta. From outside of St. Louis. Thank you, Wendy, for joining us. I hope you'll come back. Put your courage feet on.
Thank you,
take
Mark.
Some action. Be out in the streets tomorrow. Let people know that Fukushima is an ongoing disaster. We'll talk to you guys.
Truth on the Tracks. You can catch every Monday night and Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.